Good morning. I don't know if you're this way. I don't know if it's human nature or just me, but ever since I've been dealing with those ants back there, I'm itching all over. So I know they're not on me, but you know, just feel that way. Take your Bibles and let's turn to that Acts chapter 2 passage. We're gonna take a look at, like I said in my prayer this morning, we're gonna take a look at kind of an old familiar passage. We've heard this preached a lot of times, and some ways I'm not sure we have always handled this correctly. But anyway, we're going to talk about it today, all right? Acts chapter 2. I'm not going to reread this passage, but I want to talk to you just a little bit about, as we get started in this, it's hard for us who in faith walk these years realizing that Jesus rose from the dead, to understand that in that culture, resurrection was not a regular topic of conversation. It was not necessarily anything that they really thought about or realized. I mean, I think there were times they knew that in God there would be a resurrection someday at the end of time. You know, we talk about when Jesus came to raise Lazarus, you know, Jesus said, you know, Lazarus will live again. And she said, and Jesus said, I know, or Martha said, I know he'll live in the resurrection someday. But, you know, and so there, you know, they talk about resurrection, but it was kind of a new topic. It was really hard. How many of you know when you talk about a new topic or something that people are unfamiliar with, it's kind of like they say, show me the proof. You might ever experience that. You know, you say something, you know, I've seen and heard a lot of quotes and things that are being said about this or that, and there's a part of me that wants to go, show me the proof. Show me where you get this. Show me why this is true. And resurrection was kind of that in that culture. That's why it was really important that when Jesus rose from the dead, he had witnesses. And witnesses that were confident in that reality so they could share the good news of the gospel. You realize that the gospel, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the gospel, the good news, is about the resurrection. It's about that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again according to the scripture. That's the good news. That's what we need to be about. That's what we need to be talking about. That's what we need to be living in. And that reality needs to come along. But in verse 22, this just section that Joanne read this morning, I just want to look at it again because I want to pull a couple things out. I want you to hear this. It says in verse 22, you that are Israelites, listen to what I say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you. In other words, the things that they knew about the stories, many of them had seen what Jesus done. That some of them had probably fed and ate with the 5,000. Some of them had seen Lazarus back alive. Some of them had probably witnessed Jesus walking on the water. I don't know. And so when Peter begins his sermon, he says, you who are Israelites know that God did this. God was working here. God was working through Jesus. But in his plan, he handed him over to you, and you did to him what you would do. And that's exactly what they did. They killed him. That's what it says. We killed him. Humanity killed him. You know, everybody wants to find blame. It's real simple. I was a part of that. You were a part of that because of my sin, because of our sin. We put Jesus on the cross because of our sin and God's love wanting to come and fix our sin and death. Okay? So I love this just this little phrase, verse 24. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in his power. Now, I don't want to get into another sermon this morning, but I just want to talk to this briefly. How many of you remember me preaching on that wonderful theological thing called hypostatic union? Where God is 100%, Jesus is 100% divine and 100% human. And his human part died. But his God part didn't die. Okay? And so I heard a preacher say one time that death devoured the body of Jesus, but when he got to the divine, he couldn't devour it, and he choked and died. Death choked and died. That's kind of a silly thing, but I kind of like that idea. Because death took the body of Jesus, but it couldn't take his divinity. That's what that means there. The power of death could not hold him. So he rose again. So, and then it goes along and it ends with this. We are witnesses of this. We ate and drank with him is the term that was used several times. He was alive. Paul tells us he was witness to the disciples. He was witness to the women. He was seen by 500 at once. And even Paul says, even to the last, one of the least of these was me. He appeared to me. And we know that happened in Acts chapter 9. We talked about that a little bit last week. So he raised him from the dead. We are witnesses. It is important. And I want you to hear this, because this is kind of the foundation of what I'm going to say today. It is important that the resurrection was witnessed to. You see what I mean? Because if Jesus had rose from the dead, but nobody saw him, and if one person saw him, who knows whether that's right or not. But if a whole bunch of people saw him, and he went around doing some stuff, and they saw him do the stuff, he was hanging, he talked to them, he spent 40 days with them before he ascended back into heaven, and he was seen. So the resurrection is something that is valid because of the witnesses who saw him. Everybody there with me? That is important to know. The validity and the truth of the resurrection is confirmed by those who ate and drank with him. John, in his first epistle in 1 John, says, we are those who saw him, who touched him, who ate and drank with him. The resurrection is nailed as, yes, it's true, because everybody saw him, these ones that are telling the story. Okay? So let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 19. So because we needed witnesses to the resurrection, verse 19 says, when it was evening on that day, the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, the day after he rose, the doors of the house were the... When I read this, I just think this is so cool. I just kind of take it on fact. I don't try to explain it. The first day, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. I don't know exactly how that happened, but that's cool. But Jesus either came through the door, the wall, or just appeared, but somehow the first words out of his mouth were, peace be with you. Pastor Jeff, you talk a lot about peace lately. That's because Jesus did. Peace be with you. And after this, I never noticed this before. I've read this 1,000 times. And after this, and you'll know why I'm saying this in a second. After this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them the breath. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, that doesn't give any special power to the apostles. That just simply says when you go out and preach the good news of the gospel, when they believe, they'll be forgiven. All right? They were witnesses. Amen? They saw his side and saw his hands. Amen? They probably ate and drank with him. They visited with him. They talked with him. They are witnesses that he's sending as the Father sent him. Is that not what he said? To go out and to show the world that not only was Jesus alive, but here's what he did, here's who he was, and this is what the Father is like. They, as the witnesses, were supposed to go out and show that. Right? Problem. One of the dudes was not there. Anybody happen to remember who that was? Well, you read the next verse. But Thomas, who's called the twin, boy, I heard a great sermon on that. I'm not going to preach that right now, but I just heard that. I like that. One of the 12, who was supposed to be a witness, agreed? Was not there with them when Jesus came. So, the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Now, I'm going to extrapolate something in here that may not, I think it happened. They said, "We've seen the Lord." And I think they said at some point in their discussion through the week, "We saw his hands and we saw his side," or "We touched his hands and we touched his side." He is alive. It's not a joke. It's not a fail. It's not a false story. He is alive. We were with him. We touched him. We talked to him. We saw his wounds. So what does Thomas do? Thomas says, "Well, good for you. But if I'm going to truly believe in this, I need to see those wounds. I need to see his hands and his side." Hence, we call Thomas Doubting Thomas. I hope by the end of my message today that we will no longer put that with him. Okay? Because the thing I noticed is the disciples believed then when they had seen his wounds. So they were talking about his wounds. They were talking about his seeing. He says, "I'm not going to believe." Now this word "believe" is very interesting. Because it goes beyond some kind of mental assimilation of truth or fact. Okay? It is not just, "Oh yeah, I think that." Have you ever heard something you go, "Yeah, I think that"? That's not the word that's used here. The word that's used here basically means and says that I'm going to believe this to the point that I'm going to put my confidence in this and I'm going to even die for this if I have to, because I know it is true. It's not just assimilating a fact. It is basing your whole life on this. He says, "I need to see this just like you all did. I need to see this before I believe. In fact, I'm not going to believe until that happens." Next week, jump forward. Okay? I love this. I love this story. Because again, they're all together. But guess who's with them this time? Thomas. Now, I think he entered the same way. First thing he said was, "Peace be with you." But he did something different this time. Tom, would you help me? Thomas, would you help me? Here's what, just stand. You're Thomas. Remember the discussion that Thomas had with the disciples, okay? Now, I can't walk through a door, so we're going to make believe, okay? All right? Take over, Tom. You can preach the rest. No, never mind. Jesus walks in the room, and all the disciples are there, and he says, "Peace be with you." Hi, Thomas. Okay, now he just did something that is not in the scripture. We have no evidence that Thomas touched him, put his finger in it, like he said he wanted to. But when Jesus went like this, Thomas went, "My Lord and my God." Thomas believed. Thanks, Tom. Thomas believed. He crossed, he took that, he didn't even, I don't think he even had to touch his hands. I think when he saw Jesus and he heard, "Peace be with you." And Jesus walked immediately to Thomas and showed his hands and showed his side. Thomas didn't have to touch him. He believed. He got that confident assurance, and he was willing to die now. He knew that he was alive. Amen? He kind of crossed that line. See, there's a lot of reasons. I had fun this week in my study because I found out a lot of things. I started thinking, was there any other time that Thomas talked in the Gospels? Okay? There are two specific times other than this time. You remember the one, Jesus said, "I'm going to the Father and prepare a place for you, and if I prepare a place for you, I'll come again." It's John 14. And down a little farther, Jesus says, "You know where I'm going." Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going. So how in the world can we know the way?" Duh. Okay. Thomas was very practical. Can we say that about him? Where's Marcia? Marcia. I hate to tell you this. Well, let me just tell you the story and then I'll tell you, okay? You all can listen to this too. I rejoiced this week when I found out this fact. In John 11, Jesus is telling the disciples, he's saying, you know, Lazarus has died, we need to go. They got some other things to do, so they'll go. And Jesus was talking about it. And disciples said, Jesus just basically said he'd fallen asleep. He said, disciples are going, "Well, he'll wake up. If he's asleep, morning comes, he'll wake up." And Jesus finally said, "No, he's dead." And he said, "We're going to go back." And as we're going to go back, some of the disciples said, "Hey, Jesus, they're looking for you to kill you in that area. Why do you want to go back?" He said, "I just need to go back. I need to raise Lazarus." Enter Thomas.
I love this. I'm sorry.
You may not think this is funny, but I love it. Thomas said, "Well, let's just go die with him." Thomas was an Eeyore! Woohoo! For those of you who don't know me, you know I have a tendency to be Eeyore sometime, not a Tigger like Marcia. I'm an Eeyore. And now, I like Thomas. I get Thomas. It wasn't that Jesus was condemning him when he said, "You believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who don't see and yet believe." He was not condemning Thomas. He was saying this: now you believe, you're going to go to people who haven't seen me, and you're going to testify about my resurrection, and they're going to believe. Blessed are they, because now you believe. See, I hope when I get to heaven, I want to see Jesus, I want to see my mom, I want to see other people, but I hope Thomas comes up to me and says, "Jeff, thank you for telling exactly what it was all about." You know, I want to hug from Thomas, because Thomas, and we're going to do Paul Harvey the rest of the story in a minute. Thomas, who now believes, who now has the confident assurance that this reality did happen, was going to go out and he was going to preach the gospel. Okay, because he knew that Jesus was alive. He not only believed, but he had that kind of faith, that kind of belief that let him put his trust on that. I'm getting away from my notes. Jesus, so when Jesus talks to him, he says, "Don't doubt, but believe." Believe, literally the word there is, don't disbelieve. Don't turn your back on this, Thomas. You need to believe, so hear. What do you need to believe? And he had it. He had it. Now, I when I read this, the first thing that struck me is, number one, is probably Thomas's personality needed this. How many of our personalities are different than the personality of the person next to us? Maybe we need some kind of manifestation like that to know. I don't know. God can do what he wants. Okay. So the personality of Thomas, the need of the day to prove that the resurrection was there was important. But in reality, Jesus wanted Thomas to settle his mind on things so he could be a confident witness of the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? Why is that important? Why is it important that we have witnesses to the resurrection? I mean, we could have a whole bunch of different witness stories in today. But why is this important? We'll look at the next few verses. Now, Jesus did many things and many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Life. I want life. Tigger, Eeyore life, whatever. I want life. And I want to live in the reality of the risen Lord so that I can, in my life, as I go through these days, that I can live my life in such a way that they can see in me the resurrected Jesus. Somehow, some way, they can see the resurrection in me. They can see the resurrection in Jesus. Jesus said this in John chapter 5. He said, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life." That's why it's important that Thomas believed. That's why it's important that Thomas was a witness. Because when he went out, he changed lives and hearts because he knew that Jesus was alive. Amen? We need to live our lives with Jesus and in Jesus so that we know he is alive. We may not see him with our eyes, but we can sense the work that he's doing in our lives. We can watch him work in lives around us as we begin to live in and with him. So that's my goal. Some people come to me, and it doesn't happen as often as it used to, but people come to me and say, "Pastor Jeff, how come you don't talk about such and such? How come you don't say such and such? You know, some new thing, some political thing, some secular, some social media thing. Why don't you talk about that stuff? We're all talking about it. Why aren't you talking about it?" Nowhere in the Bible does it say that stuff gives life. In fact, it can actually bring death. So what am I doing? I'm talking about the resurrection. Why? Because the resurrection gives life. That's what I won't talk about. I'll talk about Jesus. I'll talk about life. You're probably not going to hear a sermon on some certain topics. I'm not even going to mention them because then you'll want me to talk on them. "Well, Jeffers, what actually do you believe about this?" "I believe Jesus is alive." "Why do I have nothing?" "Yes, it does." That gives life. I want life. You see, there is a, I don't know if I got all this or not. There's the rest of the story. You want to hear the rest of the story? Thomas, after Pentecost, Thomas, as you know, we're going to talk about this in a couple weeks, but as the persecution began for the Christians in Jerusalem, they were dispersed, okay, all around the world. Thomas went on, now as a witness of the resurrection, he went to the Parthians, he went to the Medes and the Persians, and he finally ended up in India. Okay? That's where he spent most of his ministry and life. He brought the good news of the gospel, evidenced by the resurrection that he had witnessed now. He brought the teaching of Jesus, and he established the church there. This one who we call Doubting Thomas. And to this day, and I read this, by the way, Lent's over, so I Googled it. And to this day, oftentimes, the church in India are called the Christians of St. Thomas. He was martyred on December 21st, AD 72, by a group of Hindu priests who were jealous of his influence in the lives of the people in the region he was at, and they stabbed him with a spear. Now, it's interesting. Anybody happen to know what the Greek word for witness is? It's the same word for martyr. Thomas witnessed unto his death the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that as he died, he did not die. He too was raised. I love Thomas. Because God used his need to know as the impetus to plant churches that are still in existence today in India. I'll close with this story. Jesus walking through Samaria. He gets to this well. He's thirsty. The disciples go into town to bring some food back, and there's a woman that has come out because of her lifestyle. There's a lot of things everybody wants to say, but this woman's out here, and Jesus strikes up conversation. They get into conversation, kind of a discussion. She gets some questions answered that she's been wanting to get answered for a long time. And finally, the disciples come back, and they wonder why Jesus is a Jew talking to a Samaritan woman, and she leaves and goes back into the city, but she says, you need to come out and see this guy, because he's told me everything I've done. They knew everything that she had done, but said, he's told me everything I've done. You need to come out and talk to this guy. So, town comes out to the well. And as they stand around the well, Jesus begins to teach. He begins to talk. They ask him to stick around for a few days. And this is what they said. He told them everything. So let me pick it up. So when the Samaritans came to him, many more believed because of his word. And they said to this woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that truly this is the Savior of the world. That's what I want to be. I want to live my life in such a way, to live life in such a way so that people can know that the resurrected Jesus lives within me, so that when I talk, when I share, there's a point in time that other people go, you know, it's no longer because we've heard you. We have connected with Jesus and we know that he is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. They said one time in Acts, those who have turned the world upside down have come here. These were unschooled and unlearned, but they took note that they had been with Jesus. Oh, I know it's a broken record with me. Some days I pick up on some stories and some things that I wonder myself. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm doubting Jeff. And I wonder if sometimes this is ever going to work. But I still believe with all of my heart, with everything that is in me, that in Jesus there is life. And that if we would begin the life of the resurrected Jesus, and we would live for him and live in him, and we would live our lives in a way that those around us would come to Jesus and no longer come because they've heard us speak, but come to him because they've heard him speak in their lives. I believe with all of my heart the world will be changed. I do. I think the prayer we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Here, as he desires it, there. I think that's the way. That's why I don't talk about all this other stuff. We'll talk about Jesus. He is life. He is resurrected. He is King. He is Lord. And I think he loves us. So I think he's going to start talking to all of us. I pray you don't just hear my voice, that you hear his. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we sit here under the teaching of the Word, not just the Scriptures, but the teaching of Jesus. And Lord, it's real easy in the busyness of our life and our day to just kind of now take off and go do our stuff.